this is your opportunity to share just how Ian's has impacted you, how this week has impacted you, what God is speaking to your heart about. We want you to come up front and speak into the microphone, and it's also being videoed. So feel free to come up. You can make a line. That way it goes more seamless. And yeah, this time is yours.
To my friend Ian, I don't know exactly when we became friends. You and Matt would come over to our house, and we'd sit out by the pool, around the fire, drinking coffee, or in our living room watching a football game. You had a quiet personality, and you wouldn't say a lot, but when you did, everybody would listen. And you were around for after each of our boys were born, and you spoiled them like crazy, and you treated them like they were in your own family. For Chase's first birthday, you and Matt bought him a full-size remote control train that we still set up around the Christmas tree every Christmas. We also made sure that each of our boys had some kind of clothing with Ohio State on it, and so that we would argue and debate football. And when we did, you'd get this silly grin on your face, and you'd twitch your nose a time or two. And then you bring in all these facts, percentages, and random information, and until we were done debating and arguing, you usually had the upper hand. Your passion for people and for God was quiet but devoted. You were very loyal, and you knew where you stood. And now you've left us. And I know you're in a better place, but your leaving has left a giant hole in my heart. And so this week I've cried more than ever before. Your memory will always be with me. And I will forever be a different person because of your friendship. I love you, Ian.
It's a time of sorrow, pain, grief, and loss. Let us not forget the one we serve. Behold, I am alive, not alive forevermore. I with you, Miss Ian, and I've got some questions. Dear God, with billions of people upon earth, did you really need another accountant to help keep the records in heaven? If yes, you chose a good man. But did you forget I needed him too? I need him at 214 North Market Street. This is the second year Ian was working for me, and he was a man of detail, did a great job for me. Dear God, doesn't it seem unfair for such a life, a potential, to be wiped out so early? Dear God, forgive me. I know I sound a bit selfish. I really don't mean to be. I want to remember that truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Those are the words of John in his epistles to us. So yes, Ian was a good man. I wish he'd be here, but I don't wish him back. He's already gone before us. And like David of old said, we can't bring back his son. He had conceived inappropriately, but we can go join him. So My challenge to all of us, I think, is that we old folks, I guess as the cliche goes, we must die, but let's not forget young people can die too. It seems so inappropriate when you think of the children you have. My children have grown. We've been blessed, long life, good health. We don't know what tomorrow holds, though, do we? My second oldest brother right now is in Harrisonburg, Virginia, in a hospital. He's 82, 10 years older than me. But he's on life support, I'm told. So I guess death never happens to any of us at convenient times. I might have another funeral I might have to go to during my busy tax season, but our lives are truly in the hand of God, are they not? Who would have ever thought last Sunday morning as Dan spoke that a beautiful young man's life would be wiped out so inappropriately? And God, in your sovereignty, couldn't you have protected him? But again, he's at a better place. I don't wish him back. As badly as I could use him, but we can join him someday. So I thank you, Sam and Kathy, for the young man you raised. He was a blessing to me. I was looking forward to having him my whole tax season this year. I've been haven't been using an 84-year-old man to help me out over many, many years. And I thought maybe this is one year I might not need him at all. But that has all changed. So our prayers go with all of you here, especially young people. Be careful. Live your life. Live every day for God, because we never know when it's our turn to pass over into that beautiful land God has prepared for us. So,
I am thankful that we got to know Ian in new ways in the last two tax seasons. As is the pattern this time of year, we frequently have our evening meal at the office in the kitchen behind the office. And so occasionally when I would make oven dinners, we would invite Ian to join us if he was working evenings, which he was working pretty much full time and into the evenings till 10 or 11 at night. And so I was really impressed when this was last tax season. I asked him if he would like to join us in the kitchen for the evening meal, or if he'd like a plate at his desk, and he was quick to say he'll join us in the kitchen. So I was just impressed that we had a great conversation. He seemed interested in finding out who we were. We talked for a half hour, and he wasn't overly concerned about getting back to work that night. And so I have fond memories of that and other times, too. Every time I'd stop by the office, he was there and said hi and my name. Very courteous young man. So we do miss him, but we know that he is with our Father.
It's been a challenging week. I still can't believe. I can't believe we're doing this. I can't believe we're here. But I have deep respect for Ian. He's a good friend. As many of you know, we had a large house project we were working on last year. And that's some of the ways I got to know Ian best, was through that project. And I have so much respect for him, and he cared. You could tell he cared, and he was always, we spent a lot of time talking through the project, and children loved him. Thaddeus always wondered if Ian's going to be there. He'd go over to the house, and him and Ian had a little ongoing relationship. Ian would always be laughing at his interesting comments and never seemed to bother him. And I'd many times we'd meet up and I'd be going over things that Ian could work on, and we'd start talking about life and all kinds of things, and I said, you know, this is crazy, I gotta stop talking so you can get to work. And he just kind of shrugged. He didn't mind. And after a while the joke became, I guess I'm paying you to listen to me. And he did. There was something just really special about Ian. Can't quite put my finger on it, but told my wife that, you know, the guy was probably more talented and knew more than most of the people he ever talked to. And yet, I guarantee you, most of the people he ever talked to never knew that. He had a way of just, somehow he knew tons of stuff, but yet, you never felt like you were inferior to him. You always felt his equal. And it was always Matt and Ian, too. I'm with you, Matt. I'm fighting for you, brother. I'll stand with you. Your whole family. You guys, I don't know why, but you think a lot about heaven through this kind of stuff. And man, what he is experiencing, oh my. But we're with you. And our prayers are with you all the time. Staying with you, Sam, Kathy, Matt, Amy, Katie, and Trent.
Ian, as a young lad, spent some time with us in the Arctic regions. And so when I got the news on the list of people I wanted to call and share this with was Jackie, a real polar bear hunter, a real Arctic man, but has a real love for Jesus and wanted to take the 10-course program so he could help his people find the pain in their hearts and help them be more effective among their own people. So I called Jackie and told him about the tragedy with Ian. And he called me back a few minutes later and said, I want you to read Isaiah 57, verses 1 and 2. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart, and merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. And ye shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his righteousness. And it's verse 1b and verse 2a that really stood out to me from Jackie's message. The righteous shall be taken away from the evil to come, and he shall enter into peace. And that's exactly where my grandson is. Thank you, Jackie.
And the first person that called us after Sam and Kathy called us was Goiska Kigamik. While Amos and Verna were there, Amos and Verna Esch were there to stand behind us. And my mind these days is going around and round and round. And I could take you the next hour, but I won't. Some of the things that were coming to my mind. When Ian took me into his room one day, he didn't do this often. But he took me into his bedroom and he said, I want to show you a picture. And he showed that picture that many of you have seen of the little boy from Kenya. And he said, that was the only, and I remember the word only, souvenir I wanted. When I saw that picture, I don't ever want to forget the needs of the hurting people out there. Then also, the one memory comes back when our little youngest granddaughter, she's here, she's a year now, but she was just last July, she was choking on something that she'd picked up from one of my broken chairs. And she was choking, we didn't know it. And Ian grabbed her. He was a quick thinker. And he did the right thing. She's living here today. And I guess that's all. So it's that picture. Oh, and he just was always afraid I was going to fall. And so there was, we live in a house. They come there every summer pretty well. And he was concerned, he and Matt and Sam. But I remember he said, "Grandma, I don't want you to fall on that broken cement." And they fixed it last summer. And I think every time I walk out that door, when there's no snow, of course, I remember.
I think it'd be pretty easy to start this by saying, "Oh, Ian was one of those guys that did this," or "Ian was one of those guys that did that." But in reality, Ian wasn't one of those guys. Ian was one of those special, unique guys I'd ever met. He didn't fall into any category. He, you know, you couldn't box him in. I've never met anybody like Ian in my whole life. And even, you know, when he would speak, you would have to really listen to hear, because it was, you know, the quietness. But man, I've never met a personality as loud as Ian's, and I've never met, man, the humor as loud as Ian's, and the character and the integrity that was as loud as Ian's. And I can't say he had a quiet personality, because, man, his personality screamed with everything he said and everything he did. And one of the strongest and loudest and most integrous personalities that I've ever met. And Ian and I traveled to a lot of countries together, a lot of continents, and man, I, with every day that I spent with him, it screamed louder and louder the man that he was and the character that he walked in. And man, it was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life, to break the news to all of my friends that were waiting at dinner for Ian to show up. And I called them and I let them know, and it was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. But man, we were a band of brothers, and we were group of 6, 7, 8 guys that were just brothers, you know, brotherhood, and it's never going to be the same without Ian. We're never going to just move on, man. It's always going to be a peace in our hearts and a peace in our group that's missing, because nobody could fill a gap that Ian leaves, you know. And he's such a man of integrity, and a man made our group laugh harder than anybody else. And even just since, man, we've reminisced all the moments with Ian and just laughed and cried together. And, man, I don't really know what to say up here to celebrate Ian's life, but that's what I want to do. And I want to celebrate the life that Ian lived. And I've been so challenged this week, man. With everything Ian did, he lived it with purpose. And he lived it, yes, for eternity and for the kingdom and for other people and for Jesus. And I've been so challenged, like, man, where I couldn't see any areas in Ian's life where he didn't live that way. But I see areas like that in my own life. I'm like, man, how can I live my life to the max with purpose and with living for eternity and living with integrity like Ian did? So I've been so challenged this week, and I just challenge everybody in this room, even the younger, like the young folks in here, man, how can we live our lives with integrity and with purpose and for a greater, like, in eternity, because Ian did that every minute of his life. And it's not fair. He's gone way too early. He had so much life to live, a family to raise. But man, I just am looking like, man, what can I learn? How can we grow closer? How can our band of brothers grow closer? And how can we live with a purpose and live not for the next weekend or whatever it is, but live for eternity like Ian did? So Ian, I'm just so moved by Ian's life, by his character. I love him so much. I always will. And I miss him so much. So, that's all.
Sam and Kathy, Matt, Amy and Brandon, Katie and Trenton. There's no words to describe the pain and the sorrow of this last week. Ian was one of the best cousins and even a better friend to many people. I would think of the last time I visited. He made me tea. He was, I think, a master at making tea for people. We talked about work. We talked about what he wanted to do. We talked about a lot of different things. I'm sure we talked about sports. That's one thing that I treasure with you guys is watching football with all of you. That's always one of the best memories I'll have with you guys. But I know the road ahead is dark and it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard because everybody's world will start spinning again and yours is still falling apart. And you don't know where to turn, don't know what to do. But I wanted to let you know that there is hope ahead. You may not see when it's coming. There is hope. And I want to leave you with just two verses that have... I have looked to often the last few years. It's Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. There's different things in this that stand out to me. One is that Ian, he ran his race, he endured, and now he is with Jesus. And now we can look to that same Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. And that is the hope that we have, that one day we will be with Jesus and Ian and all of our loved ones in eternity. So that is my challenge to you guys, your encouragement. The road may be hard, the road may be dark, but we are here with you. I love you guys.
Well, it's an honor to be a friend with Ian for a long, long time. There's just two stories that I think about him. I've been thinking a lot about this week. The first was back in 2011. Two guys that I was friends with died in a car accident. And after I was at the funeral, I got a text from Ian asking me if I was doing okay. And I thanked him for being such a good friend. And I said to myself, if anything like this ever happens again, at least Ian will be there. Well, it's been a real hard week for me. But a short story about Ian that really says a lot about him. It was one Saturday evening, he was at my place. I always loved having him and the rest of the guys over, and it was a few years ago, and I remember we were on our way to the Pizza Hut where we tended to get our meals for the evening. And on the way back, we stopped at a Turkey Hill to get some soda, and I was usually yakking Ian's ear off, trying to get him to laugh. I always loved when I could get him to laugh for a little bit. And I was sitting there talking to him, and suddenly he just sort of held up his hand and said, "Hang on a second," and he turned to the people that were in front of us in line and said, "I'll get it for you, don't worry about it." there was two EMTs in front of us in the line that I hadn't noticed getting some things, and Ian just offered to pay for them out of the blue. And it struck me then, and it especially struck me this last week, is that that's how his brain worked. He was always thinking of others. I didn't even notice him there, nor would I ever have thought to just pay for them. But he did. And it's something that I really hope that I can carry on.
I'm going to try to get through this. I feel like I've always taken Ian, or maybe just the game just in general, for granted. They've just kind of always been there as long as I can remember. A lot of good memories growing up with their dads working together. And I looked up to Ian a lot more than I realized. I'm more of a one-on-one type of guy, and so whenever it's just me and Ian, that made you feel like you were the only person in his world, like you meant the world to him. In the last couple of years, we went up to Canada one time together. One time we went out TBI and we drove through the night with a van load, and me and you just stayed up all night just talking, like, about anything and everything. He was on my support team while I'm over there in Mexico. And I didn't put him on because he was just good at communicating. And it wasn't just because I grew up with him. And it wasn't just because he was a solid guy, even though he was. But it was because I knew he cared about what I was doing, or about what God was doing through me. For that, I'll be grateful.
Sam couldn't have known 2 weeks ago when he made the comment that walking with someone in grief is sacred ground. He prepared our congregation for this. Dan couldn't have known when he talked last Sunday and made the comment that we don't know God is all we need until God is all we have. Dan couldn't have known that he was preparing us for this. I would say one thing I learned this week is how to grieve. You Getting Rich kids have taught me how to grieve. You Schnupp cousins have taught me how to grieve. I thought I knew how to grieve. But when I watched you this week, it felt like it was truly beautiful. It was sacred ground all week long. And I thought of that verse in Scripture. When Jesus wept over Lazarus, and the people, the Jews, said of him, oh, how he loved him. I see that in you, siblings. The love you have for Ian. You cousins, the love you have for Ian. I think of several places in Scripture it talks about making great lamentation. So the lamenting I heard and saw this week, so unashamedly, so with no intimidation, it felt like you were only aware of what was inside of you and needed to be expressed. It was truly sacred ground. And I, someone who told me that your conversation last Sunday at the table, Ian made a comment about the palm tree, what I said last Sunday about the palm tree, that it can be, you can really knock at it, and cut into it, but it will not die because life is in the center. And that Ian told his family last Sunday, I don't think Martha knows that the palm tree isn't really a tree. It's a grass. Which I would love to dialogue with him about that and push back on that. But I won't challenge his intelligence because I'm realizing how intelligent he really was. But I'm realizing the truth in what I said, though, that the life is in the center. The life is in the core of us. And I see that in you, Sam and Kathy. You're walking with strength this week. Because life, you have life in the core of you. And I think that verse in Lamentations 3, but though he calls grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love, for he does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. And I come back to that verse that I quoted last Sunday. I believe that you as a family, you cousins, you will still flourish like the palm tree. You will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. You are planted in the house of the Lord. You flourish in the courts of our God. You will still bear fruit, and you're ever full of sap and green. So I bless you, Sam and Kathy, Matthew, Trenton, Amy, and Katie, with life, with an enlargement in the center of you, like an enlarging of your soul and your spirit through this. And I bless you with increase and not diminishment, because God is a lavish God. And he doesn't waste anything. And I believe that he will bring good out of this, that you will see and you will be able to know. You know we love you.
I woke up this morning, and these were the verses that literally were in front of me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. I did not know Ian well. He was the scribe. In our group, in this past month of February. And though he didn't say much, his quiet strength as he and Daniel led our group really stands out to me. Another thing I want to say is, as we as a church go through this time of, and as you, the Gingrich family, go through this time of grieving, that I just want to challenge us that we have our hearts in a place where we can receive grace and also extend grace. Where there's great hurt, there's opportunity for increased hurt. And so we stand with you, Gingrich family, through this time. And we love you deeply. And thank you for allowing us to grieve with you.
Just want to say a little word. I feel so challenged this morning. I think we're all experiencing just a little glimpse of heaven in that there's so much about Ian that's being uncovered that nobody knew. And I think that's what heaven's going to be. And I feel really challenged too. How do we live in the moment by moment presence of giving and loving and caring and seeing and blessing others? And I that's what the message is that I'm hearing, and I'm blessed by that and I'm challenged by that. I had a bit of a touch of Ian's generosity when he persisted in doing some repairs at my house in his busy life, quietly and generously. I'm challenged to live well.
I am better than Ian at Dutch Blitz, but somehow he always beat me. And I remember one time at Youth Cabin we were playing Dutch Blitz, and he was winning and he was bashing me and I was bashing him. I don't know how I had the grounds to bash him if he was winning, but anyway, so he kept beating me over and over again, and he kept getting the scores and he taped them to the wall, and he had like a whole wall of all the scores and him beating me. I have so many questions and I don't have answers, and I wish I did, and my head still wrestles with questions. But for some reason, I don't know why, my heart has peace. And I know that God is good because I have experienced it. I know that He is faithful because I have experienced it. I know that God will be victorious. I know that He has already won the war. I know that we have hope because I have experienced it. I know that God walks with us in our pain and in our struggles because I have experienced it. I know that God brings joy out of pain because I have experienced it. I just want to read from Romans 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have now received the reconciliation. We have hope, and we don't have to grieve without that hope.
I didn't know Ian that well, and yeah, but I read a quote a couple months ago, and we're grieving right now, so I think it's a good time to use it. It says, God chose for you what you would choose for yourself if you knew what God knows. That's all.
I want to share something that he was a good friend, and I met him at the Goodwill. I was working in the Goodwill. I met him. We're talking about Jesus, and he was laughing because I said to him, I'm so glad to see you again. And I say, you know, Jesus is with you. And Sam and Kathy and Matt, I pray for both of you as the life continue in Jesus Christ. I continue to pray for both of you every day. I never stop praying.
One of my earliest memories of Ian and the Brotherhood was back at Life Ministries in the backyard, playing football after lunch. That's a good memory. And it was a large group of boys. And there was a lot of competition. And they had fun together. Life went on. Some left. And they grew up and became men. And they gathered at our house, a core group, watched football, and he talked about everything under the sun. And it felt so good to have those guys desire to live for Jesus and to be good peer group for each other. After midnight, the sleeping bags would come out and they'd spend the night. And I just was so thankful for you guys. Again, for the positive peer influence that you had on each other and my son. And I take the I want to challenge you. You do not have to be an Ian. Just be that who God wants you to be and who He made you to be. But take the challenge that Ian did live life intentionally. Yeah, and a lot of people say he didn't talk much. And I didn't hear much of the conversations that took all place. But when I heard this deep voice speak, I knew that Ian said something. Sam and Kathy and Matthew and Katie and Amy and Trenton continue to pray for you. That God's comfort would be felt. Love you.
Some of my first memories of Ian, we're probably on the softball field when Ian was 15. And shortly after that, we became youth leaders. And I just, you know, I know Ian told everybody this, but he always told me my kids were the cutest. One reason why that matters is because Ian's opinion always mattered. He knew what he was talking about to the smallest details. One day after church, we were talking about football. And that night at youth group, he came and told me something about every Urban Meyer score that was within 7 points. I don't even remember all the details, but he knew all the details. He took time to do the research. One of the hardest things for me about this is just because when my dad passed away suddenly, it's just to grasp the reality and the finality of it all. Just not seeing my dad at the head of the table at supper time. I know how hard that's going to be for you guys. All the special things that Ian did for you guys, how hard that's going to be. Just one of the things that really stands out to me is Ian's humbleness. One day at a youth cabin, everybody was outside. It was the evening. I think we were around the campfire. I don't remember. And I went back in to get something. And Ian was in there playing piano. I never knew Ian was a great piano player until that day. And Ian wasn't great at playing piano for other people. He was great at playing piano because it's what he loved to do. And that just really stood out to me. Like, he didn't do things just to impress others. But he was great at everything that he did because he wanted to be great at it. So I just want to bless you guys. Sam, Kathy, Matt, it was just never Ian. It was always Matt and Ian. Amy, Katie, and Trenton. Just want to bless you guys as you move forward. I'll do my best to be there for you.
Sam sent me the link to a song, and actually a video that we're going to play. So, if you guys could roll that.
What will it be like when my pain is gone and all the worries of this world just fade away? What will it be like when you call my name In that moment when I see you face to face, I'm waiting my whole life to hear you say, well done, well done, my good and faithful one. Welcome to the place where you belong. Well done, well done, my beloved child. You have run the race, now you're home.
Gentle shepherd, come and feed us.
turn to? Who can help us face another day? Gentle Shepherd, come and
our theme for the year is transformational prayer. Prayer that changes lives, changes hearts. Going before God and bringing people to God that are on our hearts. This morning I've asked a number of people to intercede for Sam and his family and asked them to come up. Intercessory prayer is going to God on behalf of people. And the goal of intercessory prayer is that God would be glorified. And I want to call you all to intercede for Sam and Kathy and the family and the extended family in the days and the months and the years. This doesn't go away tomorrow. So let's pray together.
God, we bring the Gingrich family to you this morning. Our hearts are broken and we're crying out on their behalf to you. God, I ask that you would go before them and behind them, even when it doesn't feel like you're there. I ask that you would protect them physically, keep them from any more harm. God, I ask that you would protect them spiritually, that they would feel your comfort and your love and your care, even when the valley of grief is deep and long and dark. I ask that you would send people into their lives at the right time for God-ordained moments, that they would be encouraged, and I ask that we as a church would know how to walk with them, and that we would honor this sacred ground that they're walking, this holy ground of grief. God, we know you know all things. We know you have a reason for what you do, even though right now it doesn't make much sense. And sometimes it really sucks. But God, we give it all to you. We give the Gingrich family to you, Sam and Kathy and Matt and Amy, and Katie, and Trenton. In Jesus' name.
Lord, I pray for each one of the Gingrich family this morning, but as a mother, I pray for Kathy and the pain that she must bear losing her son, her child. I know that you are with her all the time. She has been such an encouragement and example to all of us in her grief, and I ask that you would continue to carry her, to lead her through this. I pray that your presence would be very real to her in many ways, different ways, surprising ways. I pray for the rest of the family too, for Sam. I pray that Sam and Kathy could walk together in this, pray for their marriage. Protect them, Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And I ask that you would be with Matt and Amy and Trent and Katie. They loved each other so much. And they're so close, and it makes it so hard, but it's what's going to get them through as well. Help us as a church to rally around, to know, to be open to your Holy Spirit, and to listen when you nudge us, when they need something, when they need a hug or a touch from you. So walk with them and go with them, behind and before, in Jesus' name.
Father God, we come before you in Jesus' precious name. In this time, it feels like there aren't words. But thank you for the power of the Spirit that groans with us. And Lord, we say with Peter, there's nowhere else to go, only you. You are the life, you are the way of peace and hope. And so we come before you with Sam and Kathy, with Matthew, Amy, Katie, Trenton, Lord, for Claire and Clara in the Gingrich family. I pray that you would hold their broken and grieving hearts close to you. And Lord Jesus, thank you that you weep with us as you see us weep. You comfort us. I pray that your light and your life, your hope, would fill the empty places, that you will hold them close to your heart, Lord. Thank you, we pray in Jesus' name.
For this next time of prayer, we're going to read through the names of Jesus, who he is. When you hear a name that applies to the Gingriches, please begin to pray that name over their family. I'm going to continue reading, but dwell on the name and pray it. Claim it for their family. The Advocate, all in all, the Almighty, Alpha and Omega, the Amen, Ancient of Days, as a hiding place from the wind, as rivers of water in a dry place, Author of eternal salvation, Author of faith, Balm of Gilead, beginning of the creation of God, Bread of God, Bread of Life, Bridegroom, Bright and Morning Star, Chief Cornerstone, Chief Shepherd, Christ our life, Christ the Lord, Christ the Savior of the world, Consolation of Israel, Counselor, Covert from the Tempest, Creator of all things, Deliverer, Eternal Life, Everlasting Father, Everlasting God, Faithful and True, Finisher of Faith, First and Last, First Begotten of the Dead, Firstborn among many brethren, Firstborn from the Dead, First Fruits of them that sleep, Forerunner, Fortress, Foundation, Friend of sinners, Friend that sticketh closer than a brother, Gift of God, God manifest in the flesh, God my Savior, God of the whole earth, Good Master, Good Shepherd, Great High Priest, Great Light, Great Shepherd of the sheep, He that filleth all in all, He that liveth, He that shall come, Head over all things, Hidden Manna, High Priest, Higher than Heaven, Him whom my soul loveth, His only begotten Son, holy and true, Holy One and just, Hope of glory, hope of His people, Horn of salvation, I am. Invisible God, Jehovah, my God, Jesus Christ, our Lord, Jesus Christ, the righteous, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Just One, King of glory, King of peace, King of righteousness, King of saints, King over all the earth, Lamb in the midst of the throne, Lamb of God, Lamb slain, life, lifter up of mine head, light of men, light of the city, light of the Gentiles, light of the morning, light of the world, lily of the valley, lion of the tribe of Judah, living bread, Lord both of the dead and the living, Lord God omnipotent, Lord Jesus, Lord of all, Lord of glory, Lord of peace, Lord of the Sabbath, Lord over all, man of sorrows, manna, master, master of the house, mediator, Messiah, mighty God, morning star, my beloved, my glory, my helper, my high tower, my Lord, my God, my physician, my portion, my rock and my fortress, my shepherd, my strength and my song, offering, ointment poured forth, one Lord, one shepherd, only brother, our hope, our intercessor, our keeper, our Passover, our peace, our potter, overcomer, peace offering, physician, prince of life, prince of peace, refuge from the storm, resting place, restorer, resurrection, rewarder, righteous judge, rock of ages, rock of my salvation, rock that is higher than I, root out of dry ground, rose of Sharon, sacrifice to God, salvation of God, sanctuary, savior of the world, shadow from the heat, shadow of a great rock in a weary land, Shiloh, showers upon the earth, son of God, son of man, strong tower, strength to the poor and needy, stronghold, son of righteousness, sure foundation, eternal life, true bread from heaven, true God, true light, truth, understanding, unspeakable gift, upholder of all things, the vine, wall of fire, the way, wisdom, wisdom of God, wonderful, word of God, word of life.
I remember when my brothers passed, one of the first things I did was to check my phone for a voicemail or a text that I recently got. It's a moment where God has our attention like none other. For some of us, we want to run through it. We want to run through the pain and act like it never happened. But I believe that these moments, these moments are pivotal times in our lives. They set the course for the rest of our lives. They could drive us to despair or to the heart of God. I want to call us for a moment to reflect on what God is saying to our hearts. We have today, we have this moment that can change the course of our lives. Don't let this tragedy of Ian's death be for naught. The title of Vernon's message at the funeral was Follow Me Home. And what a fitting theme for today, to follow me home. I have two questions I want you to ponder. Number one is, are you ready to go? If God would call you today, like He called Ian last Sunday, are you ready to go? Maybe you know that if you'd be taken, you'd be not ready to go. Maybe God's speaking to your heart. Maybe there's someone you need to forgive, someone you need to love. There's something in your heart towards someone or a situation that needs to change. Maybe there's something standing in the way of what God is calling you to be, something that's not right. The second thing I want you to think about is the picture above Ian's bed. Maybe God is talking to someone here about going and sharing the gospel. Maybe here in Lancaster or maybe in Africa. The call of Ian's heart to continue the friendship evangelism and to take the gospel around the world. I have cards back in the back that the ushers are going to hand out. 2 weeks ago, Sam talked about caring for hurting. These cards are blank. I want you to come before the Lord and ask who He would have you give a note to, a note of encouragement, a verse. I want you to send that card to them. It could be to the Gingrich family. It could be to one of the young people or someone else who's struggling with the loss of Ian. I want you to be able to minister to the body of Christ in a tangible way. So as James plays, the ushers are going to hand the cards out. If you want to take part, raise your hand. They'll give you a card. My problem is I have 160. If we run out, please find a card at home and be a part of it in that way. So let's reflect on what God is saying to our hearts in this moment. We have this moment today to hold in our hands.
I don't know what this day will bring. Will it be disappointing or filled with long for things? I don't know what tomorrow holds. Still I know I can trust your faith. These clouds mean rain, and if they do, will they pour down blessing or pain? I don't know what the future holds. Still I know I can trust your faithfulness. Certain as the rivers reach the sea, certain as the sun rises in the east, I can rest in your faithfulness. Surer than a mother's tender love, surer than the stars still shine above, I can rest in your faithfulness. I don't know how or when I'll die. Will it be a thief, or will I have a chance to say goodbye? I don't know how much time is left, but still I know I can trust your faithfulness. When darkness overwhelms my soul, when thoughts are clouds of doubt, still I trust you. Soul, when thoughts are clouds of doubt, still I trust you are always. Certain as the rivers reach the sea, certain as the sun rises in the east, I can rest in your faithfulness, surer than a mother's tender love. Shorter than the stars still shine above, I can rest in your faithfulness.
Last Sunday, Dan closed with some words that I wanted to remember. So I went back and listened to it again. And he's going to close the service again today. And he's going to close in prayer. Thank you for being here. There's lunch for everyone. We're going to, after the Dan's, we're going to replay Dan's words from last week. I'm going to bless the meal, and then we're just going to dismiss. You can stay and talk and ponder as long as you would like. But lunch will be ready.
So what do we do when God doesn't make sense? The key is we need to make sure that our focus is on God, who God is, and who I am. When God doesn't make sense, is a time we make sure we have an open relationship with our Heavenly Father. Let's pray. We thank you, God, for the privilege we have of being your sons and daughters. We thank you that when you don't make sense in your plans, that we can remember that we are finite, you are eternal, and that your care for us goes beyond the immediate circumstances, regardless of what the outcome is. And as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, regardless of what you do, O King, we are going to be true to our God. Even when it doesn't make sense. In Jesus' name, amen.
Go before, lift me up, as I wait, eyes of God, look upon, be my sight. I invite you to stand. As I wait, heart of God, satisfied. And sustain as I hear voice of God, lead me on, be my guide, oh, be my guide above and below me, before and behind me, in every eye that sees me. Christ be all around me, above and below me, before and behind me, in every eye that sees me. Christ be all around me, oh, oh, Christ be all around me. Thank you.
As I go, hands of God, my defense by my side, as I rest, breath of God, fall upon, bring me peace, bring me be all around me, above and below me, before and behind me, every eye that sees me, Christ be all around me. Christ be all around me, above and below me, before and behind me, in every eye that sees me, Christ be all around me.